edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States. Find out about their windows by going to windowworldstlouis.com. I am Paul Harris. Ian Geist, Dan Strauss here in the studio with me, and now news director Colin Jeffrey sheds that skin for a moment and regenerates in his superhero alter ego.
Maybe.
Sheds his skin?
Yeah. Yes, and regenerates in his superhero alter ego as showbiz boy to talk about movies and other stuff in showbiz. Hi, Colin. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing just fine. We're playing the Bond music because this is the day that the James Bond movie Spectre opens with not a lot of competition, and we'll get to what else is there. But you and I actually saw this at the same screening earlier this week, and you were gone very quickly after the movie, but I saw you outside, and you were not happy.
I was not happy. There's a reason I leave movies quickly. Is if you go to, I believe it's afterthecredits.com, it will tell you if there's any special scenes. So I visit that before I go into any movie.
Oh, okay.
I don't need to sit there and listen to music for 12 minutes at the end of a movie.
Oh, so you go to afterthecredits.com and then...
It'll tell you if there are scenes or anything, and it'll tell you if there are spoilers to not read further. But that way you don't have to sit there and hope that there's an extra 90 seconds of...
I always like to stay in the theater until I find out who the second assistant director was.
Exactly.
That doesn't sound like that should be a title. Aren't you technically the fourth assistant director at that point?
Yes.
Is that music in every Bond movie? Is that the...
That's the Bond theme.
Okay.
I think it's been in every Bond movie.
Yeah, they change it. I mean, it's not necessarily that exact, but it's the same song.
Yeah. So lay out the plot, and we'll get into this.
Well, that's a good question. Lay out the plot. I guess there's James Bond, and there's a bad guy, and they don't get along.
Of course.
The basic idea is this is actually sort of... All the previous three Daniel Craig films are leading up to this. They've sort of reset. We now have a male M. Judi Dench is gone. He's been dealing with a series of increasingly bad guys. And this is him tracking down the organization that's at the head of it all, who has actually been pulling the strings behind all these bad guys.
And that organization is called Spectre, actually was in a couple of Bond movies way long ago, right?
Yes, this isn't a new person. In fact, our Christoph Waltz plays the villain. Why is the character's name...
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the character... Yes, he plays a Bond villain that we're familiar with.
Yes.
It's just a new iteration.
Now, I don't know how many times on this show I have said the thing that makes a superhero movie or a secret agent movie or any kind of movie like that work is a good villain. You can have a good hero, but unless you have a good villain, the movie can't work. And you and I talked about this a few months ago when we heard that Christoph Waltz was going to be the villain. We like him a lot. He was fantastic in Django Unchained.
He was great in
the Tarantino movie.
He was very good in Inglourious Basterds. So good he won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Like, he's a great... I mean, he played a Nazi. That's not a good person.
Right.
That's a villain.
And in this one, he's playing the chief villain of all chief villains in Bondland.
Yes.
So how come I didn't like him as a villain?
Because they gave him really bad things to say, and they put him in bad situations. And again, he has this convoluted... He wants to control Data. He's the anti-Edward Snowden. I don't know. It's really convoluted for the third consecutive Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just go back to Quantum of Solace and tell me what the bad guy wanted.
Oh, I haven't understood a Bond movie in years.
It was something about water. He wanted water or something.
Now, that being said, do you need to understand the plot of a Bond movie? Because when you go, here's what you expect. A good-looking guy playing James Bond and wearing tuxedos and drinking martinis and getting women and getting involved with villains who have whatever nefarious intent. And then it's all about special effects and stunts, right?
And gadgets.
Okay.
It's supposed to have those things, but it helps if we can... Goldfinger, I understood his plan, what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was...
Get the gold.
Exactly. Yeah. That was easy. It made sense.
Right.
This does not. And so you're sitting there trying to think and figure out what's happening and...
I can't tell you how many times during the screening the other night, I thought to myself, what's that now?
Yeah.
I'm doing that inside my head for half the movie.
At the end of the movie, did everybody clap?
No.
Really?
Well, first of all, it was a press screening.
Yeah, okay.
And the public wasn't there, so there were only about maybe 50 of us in the large theater at Ronnie's. And the press traditionally doesn't clap at the end of a movie.
Yeah.
But even if the public had been in there, I don't think they would have clapped either. I don't think there's going to be a lot of applause at the theaters this weekend.
No, and it's a shame because Casino Royale, I've gone back and forth. I liked that movie. It introduced a new gritty element, a bit more realistic.
Worst poker scene in movie history.
Okay, I'll agree with that. Yeah.
Take it from a poker player.
That's quite the tell. He's bleeding from the eye. Not a good... Typically, people don't do that with the best
hand. Also, the final hand that they all play out would
so
never,
ridiculous.
ever happen like that.
Yes. You know where I hear there is a good poker scene, though, in a movie recently?
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I believe it's called Mississippi something.
Grind.
Mississippi Grind.
Thank you. By the way, available now on demand, and in just a few weeks, available on DVD. Also, by the way, on iTunes.
There you go.
Mississippi Grind. Ask for it by name.
Is it in the theater?
No, it's out of the theaters now.
Really?
Yeah, because it opened at the end of September. We're in November now, and you got Bond taking up half the screens in America.
Oh, yeah.
I get the venti of that at Starbucks. Mississippi Grind is very good. Tasty.
Oh, wow. I think Dan just threw his voice.
Now, let me...
Yeah.
No, that was too intelligent for me.
Yeah, it said venti.
Yeah. Good grief, man. That was some big words.
Now, let me just add a couple of other things about this movie. First of all, it's incredibly predictable. There's another villain, in addition to the Christoph Waltz villain, who I don't have to tell you about it. As soon as you see him appear in the movie and start talking about what he's involved in, you'll go, okay, that guy's a bad guy, even though he's supposed to be a good guy. You recognize that right away. There's also a fight that takes place on a train as they're going across. Is it Tangiers at that point?
Yeah, I think so.
Or somewhere in Africa? It's one of those long tracking shots of a train going through the desert, and Bond is on board it, and somehow the bad guy's henchman has gotten on board that train, and they have a fight,
yes,
a hand-to-hand combat fight on board a train, and during their hand-to-hand fight, which goes from one train car to another train car, they smash through doors and tables and all sorts of things. Apparently, everybody else on the train has left.
Yes, there are not a lot of people on this train.
I think when they made this movie and they said, all right, we got all the money for budget, for the special effects, for the stunts, and for the stars and all that sort of stuff. We don't have money for extras for the train. You don't need extras on a train.
Not during the fight scene.
Now, it's ridiculous.
It was a reasonably good fight scene. I enjoyed watching it because it was the biggest sort of action. I liked it more than the large car chase. Let me put it that way. There's a large car chase that defies logic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another chase where he comes up with a plane out of nowhere. He's chasing after the bad guys. They're in like SUV kind of things, and or Hummers maybe, and they're rolling along through wherever they are. I don't even remember. And all of a sudden, James Bond shows up in a plane. Where were the?
Yes, not just any Hummers. Hummers with snow tracks on them.
Yeah.
Because they were saving money on extras.
I guess Q must have given them the watch that you push a button and it turns into a plane.
Yes.
Where'd the plane come from?
There weren't even great gadgets in this.
No.
It was really a frustrating Bond movie, and I'm sad to hear that Sam Mendes, who directed this is a guy who can direct movies. He did American Beauty, Road to Perdition, Jarhead, which I think people should watch. They should go back and watch it. And now he's done Skyfall and Spectre and is rumored to be in charge of the next Bond. I hope they find someone else. He's not good at Bond movies.
I will give him credit for one thing. There are, at the beginning of this, a couple of very long tracking shots.
Yes.
In the parade, and then as Bond runs along the rooftop there, and it goes on for quite a long time. And cinematically, it's very, very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, what's happening is boring.
Yes. And there's another phrase you should be familiar with, establishing shot.
Oh.
So that tells you what's happening. Where are we? It gives you some information without any words.
Yes.
There are a lot of them. There are establishing shots to set up the establishing.
You're correct.
We're about to be over there.
This movie is 2.5 hours long. At least a half hour of it is establishing shots.
So... Mm-hmm. If it sounds like I don't like the movie,
no,
I didn't.
What do you give it on a scale of 10?
3.
I gave it a 4.
I don't like Bond movies, period. I've never been a Bond fan.
Don't worry, this isn't a Bond film.
I've talked about this before. I keep getting tricked into it. Every time a new one comes out, I go, all right, I want to see this because I like Bond. Because I remember as a kid seeing Goldfinger and, you know, We Only Live Twice and Moonraker and all those Sean Connery and Roger Moore movies that I liked.
Yeah.
But every time one of them comes around, I fall for it again.
It was just very frustrating.
How about the Sam Smith theme song? Is that going to be a hit?
I think it should be punishment music today. That's how not good it is. Someone sent me, actually, an excerpt from an article here that was the New Yorker Review. They said, Sam Smith's Caterwaul sounds as if he flicked the ejector switch but forgot to undo his seatbelt. And you'll hear in a second why.
By the way, this follows up Adele, who had a hit with the Skyfall theme.
Yes.
I've been there before.
And this plays over the opening credits, which yes. I think were some of the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, no sense. It doesn't have a shirt on, so ladies, Daniel Craig doesn't have a shirt on in the credits.
Yeah, but it's also the silhouettes of naked women with octopus tentacles grabbing them.
Yeah, it was odd.
What was that?
Spectre. It's supposed to represent Spectre. It was bad.
Skyfall was a huge hit. $1.1 billion at the box office. What will this do?
I don't think it'll end up with the legs of that because it's not near as well reviewed, but it should just set the record for all-time largest opening in the UK.
What did a guy like Sam Smith get paid for doing the song?
I don't know, but he said he wrote the song in under an hour. I plead next time.
Under an hour?
A bit more time on the song.
Good grief.
Please, just a bit.
Yeah, you know what? Go to lunch, come back, take another shot at it.
Did anybody go see the Peanuts movie?
I didn't. I kind of wish I had.
It's opening this weekend?
It's opening this weekend. Yeah, the Peanuts movie is out.
I'll be honest with you. This, The Great Pumpkin Show, and The Christmas Show on TV, only thing I ever liked about Peanuts.
I never got into Peanuts. I'm like you. But The Great Pumpkin and that horrible, god-awful Christmas tree, yeah. I love.
Yeah. But when it was a comic strip in the paper?
No.
It was stupid.
No, it was dumb.
Here's my question. How old is your daughter now?
She's 4.
Will she ever care about the Peanuts characters? Will they ever be part of her life? Will she know Snoopy and Charlie Brown?
I will make them, yeah, because they were. I remember them, so she'll get a Snoopy. I think she has a Snoopy, maybe, or did already. But, yeah, I'll make certain she gets...
I would think SpongeBob and...
Oh, no, she loves all those, but I will make certain that this is...
Why? Why would you force your child into that?
I love SpongeBob.
She's going to make certain she's familiar with it, so she can be conversational about it.
Just the Christmas and Thanksgiving one, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we watch those.
That's a good one, yeah.
There's an Easter one that I'm not a fan of.
Oh, I love the adult. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Did you ever see that have a happy Arbor Day Charlie Brown special? It was terrible. They just didn't know when to stop is my point here.
Happy Arbor Day.
So Peanuts movie's opening this weekend, and also
Suffragette. It was about women winning the right to vote in the UK again, Britain or the UK, I believe.
It's not about like Susan B. Anthony and our suffragettes in the United States?
It is about, yeah. No, it's not about us.
Okay. Well, that'll be out one weekend.
Well, nobody cares about that.
No, not at all.
got a few movies to look forward to coming up, though. We're getting back into awards season here.
Okay. We have to cut things off a little bit early here because I've got a guest coming up in the next half hour who has written a biography of Woody Allen. Kind of fits right in with our movie theme of this hour.
Mm-hmm.
Woody Allen, who's been making movies for almost a half a century. And, you know, we talk about Sam Smith should have taken a little bit of time. My theory with Woody Allen movies is he comes out with a good one, then he comes out with a bad one. Comes out with a good one, comes out with a bad one. Why don't you just not make one every year? Make one every other year. But then I think, well, what if the every other year was the bad years?
You picked the wrong year.
You'd never get anything decent. Well, then we'll come back with that in a moment here on the Big 550 KTRS.